Broadcasting from the Business Radio X studio in Orlando, Florida, it's time for Regions Business Radio Orlando. Regions Business Radio Orlando is presented by Regions Bank. Brave the beginning. Member FDIC.
Welcome to Regions Business Radio Orlando, presented by Regions Bank, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender. I'm your host, Scott Wall, and I'm a commercial banking leader with Regions Bank here in our Central Florida market. We are broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio inside the Marriott Hotel in downtown Orlando, Florida. I have two guests today, and both of them are colleagues of mine within our franchise lending team, Peter Salas and Patrick Ellis. Hey, fellas, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks, Scott, for having us.
All right, so a lot to talk about today, particularly around franchise lending and the franchise industry. But just for starters, look, you both are really experienced bankers, commercial lending, SBA lending, and of course, lending into the franchise industry. Maybe tell the audience a little bit about just how big the franchise industry is.
I mean, it's over $800 billion industry. I mean, it's incredible. And in dozens and dozens of different industries. A lot of people think of franchising for, you know, like restaurants, you know, and that kind of business. But there's a lot of non-restaurants that also do franchising that make up the $800 billion.
And that's nationwide, right, Peter?
That's right.
Just to add to that, I would say that, you know, franchise and ads are approximately is going to be adding 254,000 jobs in 2023. So we're seeing a growth rate of about 3% in the total franchise employment, which is forecasted to be about 8.7 million people employed by small business owners in the franchise space. As you look into the state of Florida, franchise output in the state of Florida for 2022 was estimated at about $61.1 billion. The projections for 2023 indicate franchising is going to increase to about $64.2 billion in the state of Florida, or about a 5.1% growth year over year. So certainly it's a growing topic here in the state of Florida.
That's a lot of jobs and a lot of companies. How would you define, air quotes, a franchise business? Maybe for our listeners, what is a franchise? What's the difference?
I would say, you know, a franchise is a joint venture between a franchisor and a franchisee. The franchisor is the original business. It sells the right to use its name and its idea. The franchisee buys the right to sell the franchisor's good or service under an existing model and trademark. For instance, if you're a McDonald's franchisee, that decisions about what products you're going to sell, how you're going to lay out your store, or even the design of your employee uniforms, they've already been made by the franchisor. So therefore, you know, that's where the background of the franchisor provides to the franchisees. It's a winning formula and a successful track record, but although success is never guaranteed.
Yeah, it is owning a business, right? And the inherent risks that come along with owning your own business. Let me build on that. Peter, maybe are there nuances around owning a franchise? I mean, and you know, Patrick, you spoke about the relationship with the franchisor and the franchisee. And by the way, we'll come back to that in a little bit. But any other nuances that someone that might be thinking about opening a franchisee should be aware of?
Sure. And that's the big difference, right? Do you want to own a business as an independent? Or do you want to own a business and be part of a bigger, broader corporation with proven practices and proven models, right? So that's kind of the big difference. And along with that comes, you know, following their model, right? Following a franchise agreement, there's rules, right? So you have to be able to play within that box. And if you do that, they've got history that they can do it really well.
Let me hit on that. You said a franchise agreement. This is a question, gentlemen. That's a document that the business owner / franchisee has to abide by.
That's correct. Yeah. Okay. It's really the rules that's decided by the franchisor for how to operate within the franchise brand itself. And it's, you know, for a finite period of time, but it does govern all the capabilities of how the franchisee will operate within that brand itself.
And more importantly, there's a document before you start franchising that the franchisor will socialize with you, and it's called the Franchise Disclosure Document, or known as the FDD. That really lays out everything about the franchise, the performance, the model, average investment costs. I mean, it really gets into the nitty-gritty for you to understand what you're getting into.
Got it.
And also, too, I mean, it really provides some background on the franchisor, the support that it would provide from a training perspective, its own financials to have a full transparency and disclosure for how it's operating as a franchise brand. And then also, a lot of them will give you contact information for existing franchisees so that you can reach out to them directly and, you know, ask about their experiences with the brand.
What are some of the primary industries, gentlemen, that within the franchise space? I'm sure there's many, many, right? And we can think of some, you named one earlier, but what are some of the primary kind of subsectors, if you will?
Yeah, I would say, you know, the biggest one is probably the QSR space. That's one that it has the highest growth in today's world. Quick service restaurant.
Got it.
So you think of your McDonald's, your Wendy's, Taco Bell's, those kind of fit into those categories. You know, secondly, that is the retail, grocery stores, et cetera. Those were where you kind of see food products. And that could be, again, from a retail perspective, it can include grocery stores, it can include automotive services, it can include electronics resellers. So any kind of retail slash, but in various different industries, even with the food space. And then the third is kind of in the personal services category. So you think of like your health and wellness, beauty expertise as you put together beauty products like massages or facials or waxing. And then lastly would be in the business services category, you know, that you kind of see like the UPS stores, accountants, financial services, insurance providers. All those are kind of the big four within the industry space, but there are several others as well.
So think, gentlemen, about a listener that might be contemplating opening a business and maybe a franchisee or a franchise business model. What might you say to someone that was contemplating going down the path of a franchisee business?
You know, I would kind of start with, you know, first of all, just asking, have you put any thought to how your corporate formation is going to be for how you're going to run this particular business? Are you looking at a corporation, an LLC? You know, how is that all going to be structured? I would also think about, you know, looking at the franchisor. How are you going to handle royalty payments, advertising? What kind of support are they going to provide to you? That's different from being a mom and pop owner. I think that those are certainly some key metrics to understand. Also, I think if you should look at the back office support. What can they provide you from a payroll / HR perspective in order to help manage or set up your business that's already been proven? How are sites going to be selected if you're going into a business that may have site selection that's in the process? And then, you know, lastly, I would kind of finish up and say, well, how are you going to finance or how are you going to inject your capital to get to the total investment cost for opening up one of these locations?
Follow-up question on that. Not all franchisees probably cost the same to get into, right? Is it fair to say there are different levels of capital investment, meaning you might own real estate, you might not. Some could be asset light. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah. I would say, you know, and to that regards, I kind of put them into three different categories. You kind of got your at-home business sector, you know, that really has no office space. It's just a person that works out of their own existing residence today. That's kind of in that $50,000 to $250,000 total investment range where we kind of see those categories. If you look at like a leased location, so that's where you're actually looking for an office site or a retail storefront that may be located in a retail strip center, you know, those kind of tend to vary from $250,000 to $2 million in a total cost or total investment category. And then when you get into, you know, different industries that may suggest or may want to have you own the real estate, so that can, you know, certainly increase your cost of your commitment from, you know, $2 million to $8 million. In a typical range based upon the industry and the type of brand that you're looking at.
Got it.
Yeah, I would just add some credit intense businesses, right, has some risk because it's a big debt that you're going to owe. Just find something you're passionate, something that really resonates with you, that gives you purpose, and then find a franchise model that's successful and proven. And just do it. Just get in. There are millions of people that are doing it. There's generational wealth that has been accumulated with these brands. It's proven. It's factual. Just get in and have fun after your due diligence, obviously.
Love it. Well, speaking of due diligence, are there resources available for folks that are thinking about this? And that's a broad question, gentlemen, because every industry is probably a little different, right? But again, broadly speaking.
I'd say there are franchising conferences throughout the country. You know, if you find one of those, you know, attend it and ask a lot of questions. Usually they're well represented by the C-suites of executives of the brands. So if you know those brands are attending, go out there, ask a lot of questions. You can see a lot of different brands. So that's one way. There's also a trade association that's the oldest and the largest that protects and promotes franchising, which is the International Franchise Association, known as the IFA. It has international in its name, but it's really a lot of the domestic brands. It's just that domestic brands also crossed the pond to other countries, but you'll find a lot of tools, resources, and support there too.
As a business owner, you probably want to start to form a board of directors, right? You know, as you look at people with different experiences and collections through their life, they can certainly kind of give you some great advisory. So, you know, from that may be, you know, wealth advisors, it may be bankers, insurance, legal, you know, tax planners, all the different people that may have different lenses as you're looking at your business opportunity that can kind of be a resource for you as you kind of go through the journey of the due diligence of reviewing an opportunity. And as Peter said, I think, you know, certainly you can, you know, attend some of the franchise conferences that are out there, both from a national level to kind of understand the brands that are on a national level, but also from a regional level to find the right match that fits for where your investment opportunity may be as well as your talent.
What about pitfalls? Now, I guess these are small businesses and some can be bigger than that, but the inherent risks that come with putting capital at risk comes with a franchisee too. So any pitfalls worth mentioning? And you know, I was thinking maybe regulatory challenges, and that probably is a much bigger question with respect to different industries, but any quick comments, guys, on that?
Yeah, I can kind of add a couple things. You know, I'll say, you know, there's a few pieces that kind of play into the pitfalls. Economically, from the headwinds that we're experiencing today in the market segments, you know, we continue to see somewhat of a supply chain constraints, labor shortages, high inflation. All those things are really kind of playing into challenges that are for these people and their business, small business opportunities. But, you know, when you look at franchising, I mean, certainly, you know, as again, we've kind of really increased the world of franchising. It continues to be a growing segment of the economy with about a 4.8% growth factor in 2022 to the $825 billion that Peter alluded to earlier. But, you know, we certainly are seeing some regulatory or legislative challenges as well. There's been a lot of movement as you look from how laws are administered from a federal level. Now they're migrating more to a state level. And we've seen a lot of open conversations that have come from specifically the state of California. And as you look at that, you know, we've all heard about the $15 minimum wage for employees, but there's also other pieces that may be the Joint Employer Act to kind of join the brand with the small business owners and kind of look at them as one entity rather than separate small businesses, as well as the Affordable Care Act continues to put heavy pressure onto these business owners from their profitability perspective.
Got it. It's funny, you touched on a couple things, but in current times, we got a tight labor market, right? We've got inflation, supply chain headwinds, and oh, by the way, interest rates are very high right now. Now, Peter, you said, hey, jump in. Is it an okay time to start a franchisee business? I mean, given all those headwinds?
Sure. I mean, it's always a good time to start a business, right? I mean, it's almost like buying stocks or, you know, participating in you know, investments in your retirement. You know, you always do it at all the time and, you know, it works out. You know, there's dollar cost averaging, right? If you do, you know, investments. So owning a business is the same. I mean, if you're passionate about it, you got the right tools and resources, and franchising provides you. You know, you talked about pitfalls. There's pitfalls, and then you've got franchising that can help try to minimize pitfalls or avoid the risks that you would have as an independent, because you're the only one with the resources if you're independent. But if you're with a franchise, you've got the support of the franchisor to help you with marketing, to help you maybe with strategies on how to combat labor shortages, on you know, how to do accounting, how to do all kinds of different things that they've kind of figured out already, so you won't have that pitfall to worry about.
I think that's a really big point here with the franchise model, and you both have spoken about it so far today, but it's that not only the relationship, and maybe all relationships between franchisee and franchisor aren't great, but the better ones are really good. And to your point, Peter, I mean, these franchisors, they were probably geographically diverse, so they've seen the model do well in different parts of the country, perhaps. If I'm thinking of starting up a franchisee business, what might I have to pay for that knowledge and for that replication? Like, what's the cost of the franchisee for all that to the franchisor?
I'd say there's a couple of big rocks, right? The big costs. One is a franchise fee that you got to pay, and there's a big range there. And then there's royalties in exchange for ongoing system support, the brand, the model that you're following that's been proven over time that works really well. There's royalty fees.
Yeah, the only thing I would add to that is, you know, the advertising as well tends to be really administered a lot of times from the corporate level. It allows the franchisees, you know, to kind of join together with their other franchisees that are within the brand itself in order to get economies of scale when you look at your investment as a business owner. So, you know, some of those shared costs could be through an advertising and marketing perspective that can be utilized throughout the country, if not by the region.
And that's what you could ask the franchisor, right? What percentage of the fees that franchisees pay in to the brand gets invested back into advertising and training and new innovation in, you know, in that industry and the products and services that it's offering so that you can maintain a relevancy or cutting edge?
Well, let me ask you a follow-up question. This isn't just, hey, if I'm gonna become a franchisee, I pay that one-time fee, right, to have the brand, and then I pay royalties from here out. But my expectation would be the good franchisors, they're supporting my business, I mean, every year going forward, right? There's no one and done here. There's ongoing training, support.
Yeah. I was going to say, you know, I mean, you know, where I would tell Scott is really have them hone in on, as you look at that FDD document, item number 6 is other fees that are associated within the franchise itself. But that's really where you're going to get a focus on understanding not only the recurring revenue pieces the recurring expenses that are going to happen on a yearly basis for how you reimburse your franchisor to utilize their rights and expertise within the brand itself. But those are some key areas to really hone in on.
Like a really important aspect of this business. So we all work for Regions Bank. This is a sector that we're taking very seriously, and we've hired folks, and we've got some bankers with many years of experience, present company included. Maybe talk a little bit about how we're focusing on this sector now.
Sure. I was hired a year and a half ago to establish a franchise vertical, to your point, because we know it's really important, and it's something that's specialized, and you really need tools and resources as a banker to really deliver a great customer experience and knowledge and experience for the customer. So I hired two bankers, and we're looking to hire more, but they each have over 30 years of experience. And we also put some infrastructure in place, have centralized underwriters that are dedicated with experience. So they know when these credit requests come in, they know how to underwrite them consistently. So we're trying to reduce the variability and also speed up, you know, time to money so that the customer can have a great customer experience and get the money when they need it.
Alongside the credit aspect of this, there's other collaboration from other parts of the bank, right? I mean, it's something that the three of us know well, but maybe speak a little bit about, for a franchisee customer of the bank, it's not all just about the credit, right?
It is not. Yeah, we certainly, you know, some of the advantages that Regions offers for some of these types of structures is, you know, it's not only just the lending component of it, whether it's an SBA or conventional financing, but we have the capability to partner with one of our equipment finance companies, Ascentium Capital, to kind of help with smaller projects or equipment, refurbished remodels that are happening within the franchise space. Some of the other pieces are capital markets, working with our capital markets group in order to help with developers developer financing and actually, you know, maybe owning and building the land and building to lease it back to that franchisee. So the bank has some capabilities that are very unique into that category, as well as, you know, from a depository standpoint, as you look at all the cash management and cash conversion cycles that are happening, we've got a lot of tools and expertise from the deposit side of the bank that we can leverage with our treasury team that really provide a great benefit to our clients.
So part of what we're building here, we feel it's very special, and it differentiates us from the competition. As you pointed earlier, it's not just about credit. It's really about a relationship. And how do we help the client not only access capital, manage the capital efficiently, protect it against bad actors, right? There's a lot of fraud out there. We have fraud prevention tools. What we're describing is what we call at Regions 360, which is a very collaborative and intentional effort to put our arms around the entire relationship to make sure that we help the business grow and be successful.
One of my last questions, and it's something I've been hearing a lot about lately, AI. Can you speak a little bit about how, well, I should say, is AI finding its way into the franchise sector?
It really is. I mean, it's been truly remarkable in today's world. We're hearing, you know, reports today that AI is now being utilized by Wendy's, just as an example. They're going to utilize the chatbot feature within their drive-through as a test case in the Ohio, as they're looking to prototype and model that. That's, you know, some pieces of that really is going to help that small business owner, you know, certainly with the labor shortages, maybe this is a way that they augment and find different solutions around making sure that they provide that, you know, meet their client experience levels that they're requiring from the brand's perspective, in order to make sure there's been no deterioration from that standpoint. So certainly, you know, AI is certainly also factoring into an HR capability. We've met with some different franchisees that have utilized the chatbot in order to draft, whether it was a termination letter or whether it was an acceptance letter, but to kind of, instead of embarking through a legal channel, they were able to utilize the chatbot in order to kind of make sure that they were addressing everything from a proper legal standpoint.
If done right, you know, AI can obviously significantly improve operating efficiencies.
So I'm imagining there's somebody out there listening to this podcast and they're driving and they're thinking, all right, I want to start a business. Where am I going to start? So maybe back, Peter, to your comments about find something you're passionate about. What's the first step for someone that wants to start a franchise business? If you had to give some quick advice here.
Yeah, I think Patrick discussed it a little bit earlier. You got to surround yourself with the right people to be able to determine which one's best for you, right? So a trusted CPA, a trusted attorney, a trusted banker, they all play different roles and can be advisors to help you make sure that you get into the right business.
And with the numbers you guys threw out earlier in regards to the size of this industry, it's enormous. I mean, fair to say there's a lot of opportunity with many different kinds of sectors within a franchise model. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, ultimately today, the most interesting stat to me has been there's over 9,000 brands today that are located in the franchise industry. So lots, you know, when you look at curating what type of opportunity that you may be embarking upon, there's probably a franchise brand that's kind of already dove into that industry. So now it's finding, you know, matching up your expertise and your passion, as Peter talked about, but also matching it to your investment levels to see if it's the right business model for you.
I'd like to thank our guests and our listeners to Regions Business Radio Orlando, presented by Regions Bank, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender. You can enjoy our episodes anytime by visiting businessradiox.com and selecting the Orlando studio and then clicking on Regions Business Radio. This program is also available on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you enjoy your favorite podcasts. Please be sure to subscribe to the program so you don't miss any of our future episodes. I'm Scott Wall, and you've been listening to Regions Business Radio Orlando on Business Radio X.
Regions Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. This information is general in nature and is not intended to be accounting, legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. Regions believes this information to be accurate when recorded, but it cannot ensure that it will remain up to date. Consult an appropriate professional concerning your specific situation. The information should not be construed as a recommendation of a specific course of action for any individual or business. All Regions products and services are subject to qualification requirements, terms, conditions, fees, and credit. credit approval.